Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams. You can call me Jay or Jay Love. And next to me is a man who not only played professional baseball, but he also played in the National Football League for that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He's an author. He's a motivational speaker. He is a great cook. He likes to cook turkey tails as well. One and only Ed Smith. Was good, my brother.
Just chilling, man. Football never sleeps, does it?
That's correct. That is correct. Now, this is, we talked about it because we're going to get into a little bit, well, a lot of the what's going on in free agency. And you mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't help but think about the way it's flip-flopped, where the way it should be is the draft. You figure out what you're going to get in the draft, and then free agency comes after that so that you can fill the holes based upon that. But, I mean, it's the cap is a little bit higher this year because of all the stuff with, that happened with COVID and all those things, so that it's a higher cap. And I wanted your thoughts just on what you – is anything stuck out to you about spending or not spending? We do the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast. We'll be doing that either today or tomorrow. And so that's kind of not spending. But what – anything that stuck out with you with trades and with the free agency signings, even though this is the tampering period and it seemed like right around – as soon as it was open, all kinds of deals started getting paid. It's funny how that happens, but go ahead.
I think the draft is showing us a little bit about how strong it is in certain positions and how weak it is in certain positions, because we saw a bevy of running backs, you know, big name running backs become available on the market. And, you know, at first I was like, wow, these dudes are just getting dumped left and right, but you're seeing them all getting picked up because the draft, this year's draft is a very not, it's not strong at the running back position. We're not hearing a bunch of names. So what we're seeing is teams are like, well, we're not going to get anything in the draft, you know, of value, like a Bijan Johnson or Bijan
Robinson,
Haya, you know, or even mid rounds and stuff like that. So they're like, hey, let's go after some of these guys. We've seen them just flying off the board, and we've seen some surprise releases as well. We saw Josh Jacobs get picked up by Green Bay, and they immediately release your boy, Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones.
And it's like, wow, you know. But he then gets picked up. Aaron Eckler goes to the Commanders. You know, your boy, Derrick Henry goes to the Ravens. So, I mean, it's like boom, boom, boom. And so, for me, it's showing – and then – The other thing is they're still not getting paid the big contracts.
Right.
So I think the running backs are saying to themselves, look, we're not going to get that big money, but let's go get some money. And it's decent money. I think what they're doing is front loading a couple of these contracts where, you know, like, cause even Josh Jacobs got 4 years, 48. He's not going to see anywhere near 48, whatever his guarantee is. He's going to see about that. And then they'll either restructure or release them in year three or four. So we're seeing some different stuff. Like I said, I do really think that the draft is showing us exactly what it's going to look like, you know?
Quick question about that, though. So it's almost, and I've been hanging around with you, so let's see if I get the analogies right. It's almost with some of the – with one signing that you mentioned that I wanted to get into, get some more thoughts on it. You have a one-bedroom apartment, but you go out and get this super huge couch, and then you buy it, and now you try to figure – well, you realize it's not going to necessarily fit in the space that you have, right? Or some – you know, your bed is made for a full-size. You go get a California King,
California Queen,
and you realize that you have no place to put your dresser and all kinds of other stuff. And so what I mean by that is with Derrick Henry, isn't he the type that – he's on from that Adrian Peterson mode where he has to be so – he's so many steps back – into the backfield before he gets the ball. Is that going to jive well with the Ravens and the style that they play, or am I making too much of it?
The read option is not Derrick Henry's forte. Derrick is 7 yards deep, quarterback underneath center, get him going downhill toward a specific hole, and he's not a juke guy or anything like that. The read option is a lot of you're not even sure you're getting the ball until you're messing with the quarterback. What I do anticipate, though, because you got to remember, the Ravens aren't fools. They know what they do. That's a great organization. They don't make silly moves, if you ask me. Yeah. I think you will see a lot more of
Lamar.
Lamar under center. And because the one thing that'll open up immediately with Derrick Henry in the backfield and Lamar under center, play action is going to be a beast, bro. Mm. And then you got misdirection. You can have, a lot of, waggles and different things like that where, they're going to use all kind of things to get Lamar out on the edges. And like I said, Derrick Henry is a back that you normally have to feed him. He's because every year it seems like I get him in fantasy, and he'll have 10 runs for 2 yards because he's constantly getting stopped. But then you get him that one run or them 2 runs, but that dude gets through to the second level, and then business decisions are made at the second level, bro. They don't want no part of that coming downhill. And they'll bust one for 25 or even more than that, But he's that dude that you definitely, you got to get him going. You got to keep feeding him. But I think, Baltimore, like I said, they seem to make smart moves. I don't think they're going into this thinking he's going to be a scat back or a scat back or anything like that. They're going to use him appropriately. And which means that I think we'll see a whole lot more of Lamar under center.
All right, Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. The champions. I've heard the phrase that you can't be the defending champions, either the champions or you're not, right? But the Kansas City Chiefs going for a three-peat. They end up signing your nephew, Irv Smith. So they sign him, and then they re-sign Chris Jones. What do you think of some of the moves that they have made? I mean, it's one of those things where I mentioned this to you yesterday when I was talking. I said, even if they don't win the Super Bowl again, as long as Irv can go in there and make sure that he's available, because he can catch the ball, just make sure you're available on the field, do your thing, and that you catch some balls from Mahomes, and that improves your stock a bit.
Yeah, I was shocked when I heard the move. We had some teams that were on the board. I was talking about the
couple of the ones you mentioned. I said, "Whoa!" Yeah. I'm glad he didn't go there.
There. I was just like, when my mom was telling me, I was like, "Ugh!" And then all of a sudden, I get the news yesterday, halfway through the day, and I was like, "Well, that's a good move for him. Also reunites him with my old friend, Andy Reid." I sent him a message yesterday, but I'm going to send him another one. Say, hey, make sure you remind Andy. Remind Andy he had me back in 99 and what he did to me. Nah, but when I at some point, we're going to be out there and I'll probably see Andy. I'm going to remind Andy when I see him how he let me go that 1 year. But nah, I think it's a great move for my nephew. Kelsey's going to get his, but they always have the supplemental guys out there. And yeah. I mean, this could be, a good landing spot for my nephew catching balls from, your boy Mahomes, and who knows, maybe a chance at a ring. His ring will be a lot bigger than mine if he does get one. But man, that's a great opportunity. And you know what? Was the Chiefs and some of the other teams that were strapped by the salary cap, the extra bump, that extra $31 million, I think they added on, helped them keep players like Chris Jones. And you don't have to sacrifice because he was gone. If they didn't have that extra money in the cap, you can only keep so many. He was on. He probably would have been on the market potentially if they didn't franchise him. Mm-hmm. But the extra bump in the salary cap helps keep helps teams like him. Now there's some teams that are so far the 30 plus million didn't help. Like Dallas was quiet.
Dallas is just, you think Dallas didn't even know that the free agency was starting because, as you mentioned, the salary cap.
Yeah, Miami got decimated. Miami has taken, you talk about steps back. It was like somebody put a garage sale sign out in front of their facility, and everybody was like, it was a warm Saturday afternoon, beautiful sunny day, and everybody just happened to be going by that street. Hey, what they got over there? Let's go take a look. They just got ripped, bruh. So, yeah. I mean, it helped some. It didn't help others. KC, they were able to fit my nephew and some others under there. Like I said, they're definitely – and here's the other thing, Jay. I don't know if you saw this, but Holmes restructured the contract.
Yeah, that's one of the things. It helps. He's still going to get his money. It's just kind of, what do they say? The phrase they use is kind of kicking the can down the road.
I don't know. I don't know how they use and move this money. All this stuff with, well, he's making this much money this year, but it counts such and such toward the cap. I'm like, what kind of, are we playing with Monopoly money or what? I don't understand it. But he restructured the contract. All say about that, he's still a rich man and going to get paid.
True indeed. What about with you mentioned, we talked about Kansas City, but their biggest maybe opponent, or you think of Cincinnati, and then you also think of Buffalo in terms of the Bills. What, the Bills doing anything? Because the Bills are kind of letting some players go. I mean, they signed a lot of players, but in terms of, do you think that they've taken a step back at least so far as free agency has begun? Because they've had a lot of movement, but I just wonder if it's a lot of movement that's going to move the proverbial needle with some of the players that they've let go as well.
I think because the division took such a big hit, meaning Miami took steps back, Buffalo did, they got hit as well, and they actually, theirs was self-inflicted. They let guys go, Poyer and a couple other guys that are staples on that defense, and it's almost like they said, okay, what the heck with defense? We're just going to win with offense moving forward, because, I mean, they didn't fill back up the cabinet after they let some guys go, which, you know, obviously they were up against them themselves, and maybe some guys were getting a little older and they decided to move in a different direction. But unless they fill some of those holes with the draft, which obviously those are going to be younger, more inexperienced players, they're going to take a step back. The only thing they were probably banking on and looking at is the division. If Miami doesn't contend against them, I mean, New England, oh, pure garbage. The Jets, you know, you got aging, brittle, Aaron Rodgers coming. You don't know what you're going to get there. I said, if Miami doesn't contend against them, it might be a cakewalk through the division. But as far as them being a threat for a title, that window for me is closing slightly on them. I'm not saying it's closed, but a couple years ago seemed like their best shot. This year seemed like an amazing shot when you get the champs coming to you and you can't pull that one off. That window is getting, and then you got to compete with these other teams in the AFC. You know, Cincinnati, even the Chargers are going to be better. Steelers, Ravens, you know, the champs and the Chiefs, they're sliding toward the middle of the pack, if you ask me, especially with a lot of the players that they end up losing.
Now, leave me with this. So before we head out here, kind of a dry, shrunken version, looking at the draft, because we don't nerd out too much over that. But so any team, so we talked about the Cowboys, how it didn't really do anything. The Patriots are going to be the Patriots. I mean, they traded Mac Jones to the Jags so that, that Mac Jones could then be the backup. So that's interesting. Your boy, Kirk Cousins, he broke the bank again in terms of what he's doing. And Baker Mayfield ends up getting money over there with the Bucks. But anything else kind of stand out to you? Jerry Jeudy got traded to the Browns. I saw some comments by Mark Schlereth, who covers the Broncos in the Denver area, of course, and he took him to task in terms of, and I want to say it was Steve Smith Sr. About a year or so ago, it said some really harsh things about Jerry Jeudy, that he's just a guy, a jag, just a guy. And so I wonder if Cleveland is kind of taking a step back too, in terms of they have some action that they've gone, but are they really getting better? They got Jameis Winston in there at backup. Is there any other team that either stood out for you or well done, or a team that made you say, gosh, you guys just don't get it?
Well, I think, as you mentioned, I'll give you a couple quick ones real quick. Cleveland, I don't think they did anything to, you know, extend themselves past the pack. I mean, you go out and you get Jerry Jeudy, but I mean, their biggest question to me is the dude that hasn't been on the field in Watson. I mean, until he shows me, I'm not going to believe anything. He might be another injury plagued year for him. That's going to be a wash for me. I like what the Steelers did going and getting Wilson on, you know, minimum contract. Only got to pay him $1.2 million. Denver picks up the rest of that check. We'll see what he does there. He's got to be, can't be any worse than Kenny Pickett, Trubisky, and the other boy that was there. I mean, so let's see what they do there. The two teams that stand out for me, one in each conference, I do like what Atlanta did with going and getting Kirk Cousins. It's a risk a little bit because he's a 35-year-old guy coming off of an Achilles, but they got so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. If he can help those guys become better pros and learn their craft, and, I mean, you're going to see every guy at these positions taking steps up. And then in a weak division like that, they could run away with that one. So I like what they did, bringing that maturity in there. The other one is a sneaky one. The Houston Texans, man,
The Texans picked up Jones, right?
They picked up Joe Mixon. Yeah. And that was in a trade. They actually made a move to pick him up, and, you know, they kind of solidified some other positions. You're giving your boy down there a little, you know, C.J. Stroud some more weapons, another year of maturity for that organization. I like what they did. They didn't just sit on their 10-7 and their one, you know, their playoff win. They're like, that's nice. We want more. And you can tell it's like this is an organization that's been has a history of just doing meh, you know. They've brought the right people in there, right head coach, right quarterback. GM is like, hey, we got all this young talent. Let's continue to beef it up. And, you know, they got years to go on C.J. Stroud's rookie contract, and they can continue to put stuff around him. And they're going, like I said, I love what they did. And then we'll see what they obviously do in the draft, you know. But like I said, I love what the Texans did, showing me that they're not satisfied with just being okay. They want to go to try to get to that next level, and I think they did it with, you know, some of these picks. And it's all about the future, man. It's about if they continue to do stuff like this, it's like just stacking, you know. And I like what they did in the draft. I think they were the best team as far as beefing up what they've done.
All right. So he's Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. We do this thing 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tell a friend about what we have going on and subscribe over on YouTube as well. Go to The Easy Sports Talk Show. And you can go to EasySportsTalk.com as well. EasySportsTalk.com. And until next time, as we always like to say around this time, are you good?